If you will repeat after me, Lord, I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear. And my heart is perceiving. You're about to give me instructions that will make sense why the test is so severe. In Jesus' name. I'm reading from Paul Keith's Throne of the Soul because he's not finished with that yet. And I heard page 40, so that's where I'm going to take you. Many books and journals and spoken messages are being directed at maintaining a comfortable way of life instead of preparations to be clothed in robes of righteousness. I must have read that line four times. A season of preparation to be clothed in robes of righteousness. Much is being distributed to teach people various means of self-preservation and provisional hoarding. However, the overcoming church will clearly recognize that her help comes from the Lord. Hear me again. The overcoming church will clearly recognize that her help comes from the Lord, and his abundant provision of grace will allow her to walk closely with him through the washing of the water of his word. That should hit home for Gail. When Israel was delivered from the bondage of Egypt, the Lord was their source, faithfully providing for every need. He accompanied them by the pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our highest purpose is to return to the place of fellowship and empowering presence once lost through sin, but now available through his redemption. Our role is to recognize this mandate and cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who qualifies us for this union. So it's Holy Spirit who qualifies us for the union. That's the union of our Father with us and our spirit with him. If a person truly desires to be prepared for the 21st century, and utilized by the Holy Spirit to meet the needs of this generation, he should be doing all the Lord would require in order to be clothed with Christ, that's clothed with the anointing, having a righteousness that comes from God through faith. We must consider the loss of all things for the sake of gaining the anointing. Again, it's the word Christ. And we should consider the loss as mere rubbish compared to the surpassing value of union with the Lord Jesus. See Philippians 3, verse 8 and 9. I repeat, Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9. Our treasure must be stored in heaven, where neither moths nor rust can destroy, nor thieves break in and steal it. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So you can say right now, ouch. Romans 8. Verses 6 through 8 is where this is from. That's Romans 8, verses 6 through 8. You can't please God out of your mind and out of your emotions and out of your reactions. Now, that is really calling us to an attention of what does he really want? He wants us spirit to spirit on a daily basis. Our high calling can be discovered through emptying ourselves of our own inclinations. That's your word, Gail. Emptying myself of my own inclinations and opinions through the washing of his anointed word and relying upon the faithful leading of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit has to have priority when all hell is breaking loose. And we don't go there because the old pattern is so familiar that we do what we did last year and the year before. It is through the stripping process and assuming the heart of a servant that true spiritual authority is recognized in heaven. A bondservant is one who yields his will to the will of his master. Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8. Emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. I like the word likeness because, you see, they could tell, the demons could tell who he was, but the people had no clue. I believe Mary and Joseph did, but they were the very few, okay? And being found in appearance as a man, that's a big statement. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8. Here's the part that I pray will go in a little bit deeper so that you'll understand why the test and the purpose of the test. Now, my background is legalism. My background is learning all the rules of the law. And many of you come from the same background. Not maybe the same religion, but the same background. There is a religious spirit roving to and fro, seeking a forum to impart legalism, opinion, debate, judgment, criticism, inherently appealing to the needs of the flesh. The religious spirit will produce death and hostility towards God, while the Holy Spirit generates life. Look at the difference now. Religious spirit is roving, seeking a form to impart legalism, opinions, I add, criticalness, fault finding, etc. Debate, judgment, inherently appealing to the needs of the flesh. See, that is where we have lived for years. And the religious spirit will produce death and hostility towards God, while the Holy Spirit generates life. The benefit of the kingdom of heaven are his glory, loving kindness, mercy, righteousness, and peace produced through the Holy Spirit of truth. If we are going to be fruitful, we must be fruitful to the Spirit of truth. It should be our heart's cry of all God's people to see the glory abiding in the land. Psalm 26:3, thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. The Spirit of truth exposes the deception and counterfeit message introduced through the religious spirit. It is only by a spiritual impartation of true discernment is generated. The Lord Jesus foretold that a false spirit would be released that would characterize the time of the end, so much like the genuine article that it would deceive the very elect if possible. That's Matthew 24, 24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise. Doesn't say what might, it says will. And show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even in the elect. After I studied some of that, I said, Lord, what do you want to really have us focus on in this Passover. And he says, most people look at Passover as a salvation from death. And I said, yes. We look at it as the death angel was the focus. He went around and he opened up on the Egyptians, but he could not enter those that were in Goshen. He couldn't. He tried, but he couldn't. They were warned not to go out of the house. And I believe that last year, that's what was happening. The real Passover for a world looking and laughing and mocking God, because that's what they understand. They don't have a relationship, but you and I do. Well, the Lord said to me, what is it that happened that you can tell that I was in charge and the fruits of that experience and what it did? So he began to kind of give me a snap vision of the people of Israel. And of course, the picture that comes into my mind is Ben-Hur, the movie. And you see all the people. And I can remember watching the movie after I knew the Lord and being very upset, because I saw people walking out of the promised land, of the Egyptian towards the promised land, with canes, stumbling, having a hard time to walk. And I said, Lord, that picture is wrong. And I was thinking of John when he's getting, the Spirit of Truth is working on him. And when he listens to somebody, he can tell if something is off center. And I do the same. I don't do it to criticize people. I don't say it out loud. I don't yell at the screen of a movie. But I am aware, uh-oh, this is off. This is not right. So here's Holy Ghost and the Spirit of Truth tickling me yesterday. You hear the word tickle, okay? He wanted me to laugh. He said, can you picture what it must have been like to leave Pharaoh, millions of people, and now they're out of bondage after 400 years, on the very day. And this is what I heard. He said, I'm going to play you a couple of little short videos, little ones, about two average people that have been slaves for years, don't know any other lifestyle. And one says to the other, well, how do you feel today? And the other one says, well, you know, my aches and pains are gone. I don't have any sore knees today. I walked all day following Moses, and somehow there's no aches and no pains, and I didn't do anything. The other one says, well, you know, when we decided to have that nice dinner with all the meat, and it was so good, I realized all my teeth have grown back. And I'm giggling. I'm giggling with the Lord. And then I said, Lord, where is that in your scripture? Well, it says in Psalm 105, verse 37, he brought them out with silver and gold. Guess where they got the money? From the Egyptians. There was not a feeble person among his tribes. All 12 tribes were set free on that same Passover night. What about us? What about you and me? What's missing? Are we capable of looking at what they went through and giggle at them when we've got the Holy Ghost and we're still stuck? I'm not crying saying I'm stuck. But you see, in the testings of what they found, I didn't like the results. I didn't like the pattern of the doctors saying this and this and this, showing pictures of the damage. I tried not to be arrogant in my response to the doctor. I was very grateful. And I said, but God is capable of restoring and recreating any area that he so pleases. But like I told my son last night, years ago, I learned what God had intended when Pastor Gino landed at Mercy Hospital. And here's what happened to him. Some of you I've already said before, so it's not a new story for you. When we started the prayer group in Three Rivers, there was Holy Ghost healings, deliverances, and infilling of his presence in many, many saints. We had one young lady that came from a religious denomination, and she started attending, and God was doing something in her. But her husband and I went to school together a little while. And one day I had to go with my truck, I still had the business, to go to the dump. Now, I know him as the wife is coming to our service, but I'm not aware of his mental status. But I learned a lesson that day. You had to give a little ticket when you went in. So I opened the sliding door of the truck, and he looked at me like he had fire in his eyes. And it wasn't Holy Ghost fire. He said, oh, there you are, Kim Bergeron. I can't stand you. And if I had my gun, I'd kill you now. And I'm totally shocked. I'm not aware of this man's emotions about his wife not going to his church or their church, but coming to our prayer group called the Children of Light. So, what am I getting at? Years and years go by because I finally just drove off and I figured, well, you have a problem, buddy, and I'll pray for you when the Lord leads. But I didn't feel like praying for him that day. I would have liked to adjust his eyesight. But I didn't do that. So now, 11 years go by. Gino calls me around 4 in the afternoon. I'm in my office. Kim, can you come and visit me? I'm in the hospital and I'm not happy and I'm angry and this is why and blah, blah, blah. And he gives me all of the stuff that goes on in your head. I said, well, I've got 2 more appointments, so I'll see you tomorrow on my way to church, to office. Is that okay with you? I figured then I'll be fresh and so I'll be ready. So obviously next day I get in. He said, oh, and bring your oil. Well, I have my oil with me, I should say 99% of the time, maybe 100. So I walk into the room, and he's in bed A at Mercy Hospital, where there's 2 people. He has got the biggest grin on his face. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. And I said, well, me too. Boy, you sure sound different than yesterday. He said, yep. He said, now, he said, I want you to push that curtain open and anoint the man that came to the Lord at 4 or 5 o'clock this morning. I said, oh, that's wonderful. Praise God. I'm excited. I said, so I pushed the curtain back. Do you know who was laying in the bed next to Gino? 11 years of hatred flushed down the drain by my pastor being in that hospital for that particular person. I anointed him with oil. He cried. He asked for forgiveness. And 24 hours later, he was gone with Jesus. Why did Gino have to go to the hospital? Because his wife never stopped praying. There are times you'll feel, oh my God, this is way too big for me. And sometimes it is. You can't handle the pressure. You can't handle the hatred. You can't handle the rejection. Whatever it is, You can't handle where you've been and how you got there. But I can tell you this, God is sovereign. That day when I shook that man, the Lord said, give him a hug. And I really didn't want to, because you know what was going on in my head? What if he changes his mind? What if he still wants me dead? But the bottom line is, that was that man's Passover. But someone else had to pay the price for the next level to come into his life. You don't know why you're going through what you're going through, but God is building a testimony out of all of us and out of me and you as well. So to go back to the Passover, they were walking. They were looking at each other, trying to figure out how they got well. And it was a sovereign move from God. I believe this year that the Passover last year was the place to hide. I truly am asking the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Truth to permeate us in the next few days to the degree that we will walk away from all the old and into the freedom of this Passover season. I could give you a lot more, but my press is that I am so blessed to have your love. I got your card. Thank you so much. I'm being spoiled like a child. I'm being told that, you know, all the restrictions are about to be lifted. And I told Irene last night, I said, you know what? I am getting so spoiled that I think I will keep that kitchen door closed. I'm not allowed to go in my kitchen. And I told my son, he was supposed to go home today, but he changed his mind. I said, well, then, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay in my chair because being served is quite attractive. I'm being spoiled and I like it. So Irene says, well, I'm coming home pretty soon. I said, well, when you get home, he can serve both of us because we took care of him. It's his turn to care for us. That's my story.